Welcome to Living in the Matrix. I'm Jonathan, and I'm left of center.
And I'm Rich, and I tend to lean a little bit more to the right. But the bottom line is together we try to look for the balance of what it means to be human in today's world.
All right, this is going to be a good one. Welcome, everybody, Living in the Matrix. I'm Jonathan. This is my co-host, Rich. Say hello, Rich.
Hey, everybody. So great to be back. Hope everybody's having a great Friday. And my goodness, are we excited to have Whitney back. We've got a lot to talk about.
Yeah. It's going to be a fantastic show, episode. So we have Whitney back. Last year, we talked a lot about the Akasha Records. But that's sort of Whitney's passion project. But she's dove heavily into crypto. And so we're going to dive in as well, because I've been in crypto for about 5 years. Rich, you've been dabbling for a little while and have kind of gotten into it. But Whitney has taken the deep dive, and I want to bring her on to really help us understand what it is, to kind of understand how it's changing the entire landscape, why it's valuable. So welcome to the show again, Whitney. It's wonderful to have you.
Thank you guys so much for having me. I'm so delighted to be here.
Awesome. 100%. So, let's start with you, because last year you came on and you talked about the Akash Records, and I think we talked a little bit about a crypto, but I want to take sort of a deep dive. So where did you get started in crypto? Why don't we start there?
Great. So just for, I find sometimes when we're talking about crypto, there's so much like code and there's so many questions to things. I just want to drop people into like the humanness of me. So first off, hey, I'm Whitney. I'm 30 years old. I currently right now live in Austin, Texas, born and raised originally in Massachusetts, and I've lived all around the world since. My crypto journey began actually when I was working in the corporate world, before I'd even heard all about crypto, but I like to say like the fuel to like the curiosity in the beginning of like wanting to do something different always begins with like that previous life type of thing. So, for me, January 2020, I was living and working in Washington, D.C. as a construction engineer. I had the salary, the career, the friends, the family, like all the passions, the hobbies in between. And I was also in my spiritual awakening process as well. And at that time, I was like looking around. I was really deeply curious where I was like, this engineering life, this stable, all these things, this is for someone else, but is it for me? And so I kept, it was back in the engineering field, I would walk around the office and I would look into people's office, look into people's souls, really going around asking people questions, like executives, to be like, are any of these people who I would like to be in the future? And time again, I kept saying no. And all of this actually, for me, it went back to, as I was going around doing that discovery, I really wanted to know like, okay, the money situation's fine in my world. The salary's fine. Like if I just keep on rinsing and repeating, like what else? So I wanted to know really.
Are you bored?
Was it
a dissatisfaction? Because I think dissatisfaction is when something's grating against you. Boredom is when it's not interesting. Like you can do it.
It wasn't bored. It was dissatisfaction. Deeply, deeply unfulfilled. Yes. I was like in the office and all the things. Yeah. And I would like be driving into the office every single morning saying like my affirmation or like my future life of what I wanted. I was like, I want to be living in an island. I want to be teaching women something of some sort. I want to be speaking. I want to be connecting with people. Like I want impact. And I was like, this is not the life for me.
So you had manifested this almost dissatisfaction because you wanted something and it wasn't that. Is that fair to say?
Yes. And also like, I mean, the dissatisfaction was there because I was living honestly a life that that society wanted me to live. My dad was an engineer, my mom stayed at home. Like it was very much like, granted my mindset very much works in a way of an engineer, but that lifestyle was not for me by any means. So anyways, I really wanted to know like, what does a dollar mean to me? At that time, because I wanted to know like, well, if I can understand what a dollar means to me, then I can also understand like where I want to put my energy, where I'd feel most fulfilled, and also like really what I want to create in this life. And so that was a really, really subtle curiosity. But at that time, like I was teaching yoga, meditation, manifestation, all while doing the corporate stuff. And I gave my notice and I left.
Is this when you went to Bali?
Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
Yes. Yes. That's it. Okay. I remember that now. So I
gave my notice January 2020 and I hopped on a plane over to Bali and was planning on being there for 4 weeks as my like corporate detox. I get over into Bali and I was like amazed where I was like, wait, there are all these different types of people. There was a huge expat community. And I was like, there's all these people doing different things in this world. And it's not the traditional corporate world, but there's like creatives and there's artists and there's entrepreneurs and there's investors and all these people figuring out life and on their own terms. And it was my first meal alone. I like walk into this vegan cafe and I like sit, look down at this table and this guy's eating this beautiful food. And I was like, what is this? Like, tell me so I can order it. And then he was like, would you like to sit down? And so I was like, yes, a friend on the first meal. Amazing. And sure enough, this guy sit down and we just start swapping stories. And he started talking to me about the financial world. He talked to me about the current system, how broken it is, the future of finance, where things are shifting to, the global things that are at play, how he's made money, like investing in finance and having money work for him. And I was like, you are hitting me with all different forms of curiosity. I need to know more. And so this man he kept talking to me about this stuff. I kept on leaning in and wanting to know more. And he became my crypto mentor, who then also helped me pull my retirement fund out of Vanguard and put it into crypto and a few other different assets so that I could personally manage my own money for my own self and really understand like, what does a dollar mean to me? So 2020 for me was a time, like this is also when the world went upside down. Mm-hmm. So I'm in Bali and during this time, I'm like, ended up making it over to New Zealand, bought a van with my mentor at the time. It was very much like, I went to like a deep, deep, deep sabbatical mode of like really trying to understand this whole crypto world. Cause I was mm-hmm. like, I know it's part of the future. I get it.
Was the crypto journey started by that man?
Yes.
Yeah. So he kind of catapulted you into this idea.
Yes.
Okay, got it.
Yes.
I think the starting point was that you were like, what am I going to do with my money? What is my dollar worth? I mean, that I think
was a fascinating question.
That's a big genesis. It's a big switch, yeah. Right? It's a big mm-hmm. pivot.
And that question is more of a relationship. It's not, it's yes, this money game fits in, but it's a relationship to self. And I find a lot of this crypto stuff, it's actually a reflection of self, like reflection of your emotions in the market, reflection of where things are going, what you trust, what you fear. It brings up all different things for so many reasons. But anyways, that's super high level.
What a lot of people are really trying to understand is there's the everyday lives. And Whitney, that's what I love about you is you're not just asking the surface questions, which is, oh, do I have a dollar today? You're asking the question is, what is my life in relationship to this dollar? Because I've had money most of my life. I came from a very well-off family and I have done very well in my career. But every person has to sort of go through that relationship because when you don't have money, life gets weird, you know? And so to answer that question, I think is one of the more important high level questions. That's why it caught my attention.
Well, and on top of that, Jonathan, I think we're seeing this, right? We not only are we seeing awakening, we talk about Aquarius, we talk about the divine feminine, but one of the things is absolutely, you don't have to have any kind of sensitivity to anything just to see that the middle class is being annihilated, right? Every day with big firms buying up single family homes, with the dollar being squeezed, with even commission, I guess I just saw this news that 6% commissions being eradicated for realtors. So I think Whitney, you are at this perfect prescient time of knowledge, of sensitivity, and not only a kind of a spiritual kinds of awakening that we talked about prior to the beginning of the podcast, but there's actually you can't even it's not even a crapshoot to see that there's a lot of pain and a lot of people suffering right now. I don't know how many times you guys might have seen this, but I'm seeing, you know, young, poor gals in who've graduated college, have their degree, you know, were supposed to be doing their dream job, their dream life, because they've been told the degree will get you there, and they can't hardly make rent. And these people are working their asses off with a freaking college degree and a full-time job, right? Anyway, I think your timing is perfect. Yeah.
Yeah. And speaking of timing, so I do want to even share like my story around like reward, returns. Just so people can start to understand some of the number side of things too, regardless of what background you have financially, because like the crypto asset class is, there's a reason that it brings a lot of fear, because it brings a lot of euphoria and it brings a lot of like too good to be true sensations coming up as well. So personally for myself, when I got into the market, so when I took control of my money in March of 2020, I was playing with a few different asset classes, basically trying to grow my money so that I could then have more crypto. However, timing of the whole global world and how the markets played out with all the change, my mentor and myself got it wrong. And so I ended up watching my 38K, which is what my starting amount was, go down to 25.
How did that feel?
Oh.
That's a challenge to the quest. Like, oh, this isn't working like I thought I would.
I was living in New Zealand. I was also living with my mentor, and my family was the entire time. They were like, what are you doing? You need to get your butt back over here.
Right.
Go back to being your engineer self. Like, get your salary, start working. Like, you can't do these things. And I'm like, you don't understand. Like, I'm learning so much every single day so that I'm learning for my future self so that money works for me going forward. And like, you guys don't get this, but I'm doing this for me, for you, for the future freedom, for more time that we can spend together. Like, I get this. It's like, just wait, like time will work for me. So it tested a lot of things during that time, but ultimately I stayed abroad and I kept my money in the market. And I find those moments, it's building the resiliency within the human, within myself to be like, oh, I really am capable of so much more, and I can ask better questions, and I can figure out these answers. So,
Before you go forward, I want to call something out to our listeners. In Dr. Hawkins' scale, courage is the beginning of positive action, and that's what you did. Is you stepped into your courage. You could have run home. You could have, and I want to call that out. How important in those kind of moments is the choice for it into the face of fear rather than away from fear, that is what you did. So I kudos to that, because that's a big move.
Thank you. The courage aspect feels like a muscle that we just keep, I personally just keep on strengthening. And then every single day still, things keep getting bigger, things keep moving faster. And I have to still remind myself, like, I am choosing courage each time, but I'm just choosing the timelines that I'm creating. So like, if this timeline is in alignment with the future that I want, then okay, some feelings are going to come up. Let's move through them as I move into that future version of myself.
Mm-hmm. I love it.
So, speaking of courage, okay, next up. October 2020, when my portfolio was sitting at 25K, my mentor and I were looking at each other and we're like, we got it wrong. We thought the market was going to take off, was going to dip at some point, but instead, like when all the viruses and everything happened, when the world shut down, but instead the markets went up, the printing machine went up, and like money went up, crypto went up, everything went up. And so we just looked back at each other and we were like, we just have to admit, like, we got things wrong. And it's like giving that ego blow to yourself of like, I got it wrong and now I have to take a different action. And so I took my money out of, I was in options contracts at the time, and I put it into crypto fully. And at that point, the 25K at its lowest was sitting there. I was, in particular for myself, I was in Cardano. We had researched so much out of that. We knew that that was going to be a really good one at that time and at that cycle. And timing matters, which is why I bring it up. But that might not be an investment for you now, but it's just that was at the time, that was a really great buy. I got it at 5 cents. And I was between that one and Hex, and I ended up watching that 25K rise up. January came along, hit 100K. And then at that point, that was like a huge point where I was like, I did it. Like,
it's real.
It's happening. I was like, Mom, Dad, see? Like, at that time, it was just like, and at that point, I was also living back in Bali. So I was like, see, like, life is good.
Yeah, and here, Dad, here's the proof.
And then the market kept on going. And so 200K, 300K, 400K, I end up hitting a high of 550 $25K of my portfolio net worth.
Out of 25K. My gosh.
Yeah.
That's a 20 extra turn. No, what is that? What is five times?
It's a little more.
It's 20. Yeah. 20 extra turn. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So I didn't, I say this and I didn't fully take profits on all that stuff because of course, when you're in your first, when you're in your first cycle, you think that you're unstoppable in so many ways.
Well, here's why this is important that there in your journey, it's not like you're trying to figure it out. You hit it. And the interesting part is that you're a 30-year-old female who's, you know, it's like you're young. And it's possible. That's all I want to call it as. You took the risk and it's possible.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not speaking from I'm trying to, you're speaking from I did it. And I want to give that credence to your journey because you did figure out some things that really work.
Thank you. I did. And and then from that, I still did take profits on a huge, huge, huge chunk. Didn't have to I never returned back to the corporate world.
How'd that feel? You got, so in other words, remember that question, you're trying to find the next thing and you found it and leaving the corporate world. What was that like?
Well, so quite honestly, it felt obvious that I was not going to be returning back to the corporate world. When I gave my notice, I had a feeling and knowing I was like, I'm never, ever coming back. I was trying to figure out a different way. And I did. There's something weird that happened, like the whole conversation itself talk about like exponential wealth. Maybe we can talk about that later in the cycle. Mm-hmm. But when exponential wealth hits for everyone, for people, for myself, there's something that happens where it just magnifies what still lives within.
Oh, and God, so, yes.
Yeah. And so still for myself, I was like sitting in my beautiful villa in Bali. It was like rainy season, just laying on the couch, like honestly learning a lot still, like learning more about quantum physics, more about how the universe works and all these things. And I was like, okay, so if I created that, then like, how do I create things in the world? And ultimately I'm like, I was like, what would actually bring me value and purpose and fulfillment with the impact that I would give? Because now I have the freedom. I can do whatever I really want that my heart desires. But what would actually feel really good impact wise? And so that
What do you mean by impact?
Fulfillment, helping people. It was truly fulfillment.
Got it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and then ultimately, giving back perhaps. Yeah. I have a tactical question because what you did, and this is what would be in the minds of anybody who would engage with you, is like, I can't wait to take $200 to $20,000, right? I mean, Jonathan's son thinks that one of the stocks that he granted to me, which is Good Gensler, is going to go from worth $100 to $100,000 based on what that could happen. The technical question I have for you is a tax strategy, right? So you take 25 and you go to 500. Let's say you did write it and you sold at the right time. Can we talk about that right now, or we talk about that later? Or are there implications in the crypto world that are different than you would expect in a capital gains kind of scenario in the stock market for those kinds of gains?
The tax conversation is a whole loaded question. That's a whole nother conversation in itself. I'm not an expert in that stuff. I can tell you guys, I've done like so much research around this stuff because also like in 2022, when I was doing my taxes for 2021, when everything was beautiful, I emotionally had like a lot of like, it can feel hard and heavy at times because you still owe taxes, like crypto to crypto. Technically you still owe a tax too. It's a taxable event. So like if you sell from Ethereum to Bitcoin, however, tax strategy kind of goes to more high level stuff. So this is where like you have to understand, like you have to ask yourself, what game am I playing? What game do I want to play? And so I feel like there would be a better use of our time rather than going into some tax strategy.
We'll do that on one off because there's a lot of other people in this country that, I mean, the idea of crypto and Web3 and the idea of avoiding the man, right? The idea is corporate world, corporate finances, they own my stuff. I would like to have autonomy. I want my NFTs. I want my money. I want my creation. I'm doing creative work. And all I'm trying to do is get through life and help others, right? I don't need to pay this. Yeah.
Yeah. Two things. First off, in crypto, I think that a lot of So, okay. So if anyone, so either of you, because I know you guys both own somewhat of crypto at different points in time, do you store your crypto on an exchange?
Yes. Well, I do.
Yes.
Okay. So do you own your crypto or does the exchange own your crypto? Is my question for you. Who do you think?
I would think the exchange, is the holder. Technical record, I'm the owner, but wondering if you can tell me differently. Mine is an uneducated guess. Mine's not a knowledge.
So this is where, did you remember hearing anything about FTX, Sam Bankman-Fried?
Oh, of course.
Yep. Okay. So yeah. BlockFi, Celsius, these are other examples of exchanges. And one thing I do want to share is anyone who does store their crypto on an exchange, I personally do not, and I never will, is because like, and if your money is on your exchange, the exchange owns your crypto, you don't. And so if we're talking about sovereignty and owning your own money and having power to the over you versus the man, a thing that I value deeply is being able to store your crypto on a hardware wallet device. And that way money can actually be shifted into the crypto is in your hand. So especially right now, if things change regulatory wise and in the government policy wise around crypto, and people are like, oh, you're only able to like move 5,000 out or play around with this or that. I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Like I don't play in those rules
right. Because
I have taken my money out of the traditional finance system. I've taken it into the crypto world and then I've taken it off out of the centralized crypto world and I've taken it into my own hands.
Physical. Yeah. And almost like gold. Yeah. It'd be almost like owning gold. Yeah.
And also, Whitney, I've been in crypto and I've been on a whole bunch of different ones and I've created multiple wallets. The UX or the user experience on crypto is monstrous.
Terrible.
Like it's horrific.
Yeah.
And it will not reach wide adoption until they solve that problem.
Yes. Yep.
Yeah. Because the average person 40 and up is like, fuck that. Like it's so hard. My son's like, oh yeah, go get this, a Coasters wallet and all this. And it was like, wait a minute. Like you have to think in terms of old structures and you guys are lucky because you started with crypto and it's part of your regulation. So widespread adoption to my generation is going to require better UX.
Yes, 100%. I agree. I'm excited for when that the UX does become better and smoother. I have a feeling a lot of people have been saying 2030 feels like a year that would be in. And what that would mean is collectively there would be less volatility in the market because more people, the masses would be in. So as an investor, I like being in before that adoption gets hit. So it's like if you go out there and you hit the few extra buttons and you learn the software to some degree, this is some of the stuff I teach because I'm like, it can be a lot more simplified to like pull your hand into the world of crypto and just be like, it's this and that and that and that. And like, I mean, I started in the crypto world and my confidence was shot. Like this was a foreign language to me. Like that guy talking to me when I was at the age of 26, when I was in Bali about crypto was the second person that had ever spoken to me about crypto. My first one was just a friend who like owned Bitcoin, but like I didn't know what that stuff was. So, I share this because anyone who gets into crypto begins with a zero-based knowledge and a comfortability around this stuff. And time again, the more action you take, the more you listen, the more YouTube videos you watch, the more questions you ask, the more that you learn little bit by little bit and you build your confidence. So personally, I had to really build my confidence because I did not feel that way. But yeah, anyone can do this.
Okay, speaking of volatility and getting in early, what would you say to the skeptics who think that a lot of these things, including the meme coins, are nothing but a Ponzi scheme? Get enough people in, build it up enough, get the hell out before everybody else figures it out and get the hell out of Dodge.
Ooh. Yeah, I asked my software team, the average age is probably 35. And that's the number one response they came up with is it's a Ponzi scheme.
Yep. What do you say to the people? Like that? But yeah.
Help educate people.
I would zoom out first. I want to drop this conversation thread in first. So the way I approach crypto is very much like an engineer. As an engineer, I spot problem solution, just like anything in the world. There's problems in the world. I want to be aligned to solutions. So the problem with crypto right now, like why do you think crypto came to be? You guys tell me.
I've read this story of why Satoshi created Bitcoin.
He's a CIA operative. That's what was the news that I sent to Travis today. You want me to read it for you right here? What does it say? Bitcoin is a US CIA project. This is the conclusion reached by cryptographers who provided the first evidence that Satoshi Nakamoto, creator of BTC, is a former drug lord and informant of US intelligence agency's Paul LaRue. Users discovered that Nakamoto's first transaction deciphered as this transaction was made by Paul LaRue to Hal Finney on January 12, 2009. His whereabouts are now unknown before our time.
I believe all that stuff feels more like propaganda, mainstream propaganda than anything. But okay,
if I'm going to answer your question, Whitney, what is the answer to that question?
So it was a big libertarian movement back in the.
Sounds about right.
So Bitcoin was formed in 2009. Yes, it was formed by Satoshi Nakamoto, an unknown person, still unknown to this day. I actually think there's a lot of beauty in him being unknown, him, her, it being unknown, because then there's no question. There's no like political stuff, cancel culture around the leader. It's just the founder.
Demigod. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
It just is. So anyways, the whole movement was around these libertarians wanted the governments to stop meddling with their business and their money stuff and for them to be able to transact freely. And so the whole Bitcoin movement, the whole crypto movement has been funded on decentralization of taking the power out from the corrupt, the few, shifting the power into the people, into the hands of the many, having it governed on something instead of like governed by humans making decisions of saying like, hey, I want interest rates at these. Hey, I want to turn the printing machine on at this time. Hey, I want these different things that will benefit the few. Instead, crypto is a place where it is governed by the code. It's governed by like you come into the ecosystem, into the blockchain, into Bitcoin, into Ethereum, into whatever you're in. And the code is all transparent.
Neutral, of course. Yeah.
It's all the rules. It's everyone can agree to it just because you step into the space and the rules aren't going to change. So the reason I bring this up is when we look at things, I invite you, if like people say it's a scam, okay, it's not actually fully a scam, but ask yourself, like, why is it a scam? But ultimately, crypto's here to be able to solve problem solution. And so we've been aligning. Well,
Whitney, hold on. Before you go forward, I think that's probably an important step at this point because that's the majority's opinion. Why do you believe it's not a scam? Like, at what level of conviction do you feel saying this, it is not a scam? And give us at least a glimpse into the reasoning behind that.
First off, what is a scam?
Scam is where someone's taking your money.
Purposeful deceit, though. A scam is something where somebody's trying to sell something that isn't real, or using deceptive tactics to tell you something is what it is and it's not behind the scenes. So it could be something that's is selling as a quality product and it's shabby, or it's something that isn't even there. You know, you're selling it's them. Deception. It's deception.
Who is deceiving you when you're going into crypto?
If it's made by rules that are neutral and there's code that seems to be transparent and you have full visibility to what the rules are, then I don't think there's actually any deception in that if that's all a neutral code and it's observable by everybody.
I think the bigger concern is because of what happened with Silk Road. And Silk Road was essentially a drug place and they used Bitcoin as the way they transacted. It gave it a sense of illegitimacy first. And then second, there were some pretty large hacks that took some of the crypto, which in theory, if crypto works, you shouldn't be able to scam anybody.
Okay. First off, with some good conversation points here. And anyone else who is thinking about what is a scam here, right. I invite you to like pull out more use cases for yourself and dissect it through this lens. But okay, so Silk Road, the example of what you're saying, what I'm first seeing is I'm like, well, yeah, of course, it was an exchange of value. That's been the whole job of it. Yes, it may have felt messy and ugly to some people or dirty because of what people were exchanging values for, but ultimately it did its job and it allowed humans to transact freely.
It didn't help. But no, it wasn't up until that. I mean, reasonably, it doesn't fit in the scam category.
Correct. And and ultimately, like when something is birthed, like, okay, when something is, when anything new goes out into the world, so like even TikTok, when that was put out into the world, it initially started as a dancing app, like, or like people dancing, whatever it was.
Musical.ly, yeah.
Yep. And look how that's evolved. So it just takes the first wave of adoption does not prove how the whole thing and the whole movement is going to stand.
That is a good point. That is a good point. Because there is product change and shift and versions and growth. That's how businesses thrive. I think you nailed the point is, and if you really, at this point now, you look backwards and see what is the value. It is that exchange of relationship of what we call money. That is, I just want to know that if I send Rich $50, he's going to get it.
Okay. That's easy. But so everything we're talking about here is it's a free market. Crypto is a free market. Yeah. There's a few points I want to bring up. One, it's a free market. So the people ultimately, like it's a, people choose what they want.
And can you explain for our audience decentralized?
Yes. Let me get through some of these points.
Okay, we'll that sounds in. Like what you're talking about. Sorry.
Yes. But also like, okay. So a free market is something where someone gets to choose. They get to vote for the world that they want to see. So you get to use your money as a vote, as energy, exactly what it is. And so when Bitcoin was birthed, the example that we're using with Silk Road is saying that the first batch that went out, people said, hey, this is a use case. Like I can use this right now. This is a need for me. And people made the agreement. It's the same thing back in the day with bartering. So we're just simply seeing, like, I love studying crypto through the lens of like the evolution of money, how we've gone through it. Crypto is just a movement. It's a movement of people. It's a movement of money. It's a movement of energy. And it's a movement of change. So it's saying like, there are problems. We want to align to solutions. And so this brings us beautifully into decentralization. There's another thing I want to jump in first. Nope, we're going to go into decentralization. So with decentralization, what we have is, okay, so we're going to go back problem solution. So we currently live in a world that is quite centralized. What are examples that you guys know that are, that's a form of centralization in our financial system?
Taxes.
Okay. FDIC. I've got a certain amount of money and it's insured up to a certain amount. I'm seeing in the UK, they start... Somebody wants to pull out $5,000. There's like, what do you want this for? It's like, wait, whoa, that's my money. What are you asking me what I want to do with this money right now? Right. That's kind of scary.
Yep. Yep. Those are great. And if we want to zoom it even further back, so the government is centralization.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Another form. So banks, another form of centralization. Companies, like anything that has a C-suite of employees where humans make decisions. That's an example of centralization because I really like this diagram where it's like, if you picture like a network of like people, so like circles, a network of people who are all together, a centralized one has like one circle in the middle and all the arrows point back to the centralized.
Yes.
Person.
Yes.
Okay. And then the other one for a network is the arrows just go side to side. Like everyone's connected on a web. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so centralization is when one centerpiece, the whole network revolves around the centerpiece making decisions, versus decentralization is that everyone is a node. Everyone is connected. Everyone like.
Everyone can see, can have visibility.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think that's, to me, this is the best argument for it because it decentralizes the money structure of the world. And that is the movement I see happening. Would you agree with that?
Yes. Oh my God. Oh
From
my
fiat
God.
Fiat currency to the crypto world.
Well, and the people determine the value, not some central arbiter. Isn't that also correct?
That's the point, is it's collective. Yes.
Yes.
So the people do. And so this is also one other point that I really wanted to bring up is each crypto. So there's 20,000 and beyond cryptocurrencies out there. Each crypto is not created the same. So even if we want to get back into the scam conversation.
No, I think we're past it.
Well, no, we're going back in because
it's important too, because there really are some things to be aware of, I think, and concerned. Yeah.
So there are examples, there are 100% examples of scams in crypto.
Oh yeah. Okay.
However, the scams that happen in crypto, they go back to the founders, or they go back to the founding team, or people that get involved who are called bad actors. And those are the people that want to rug pull money from people.
Sam Bankman-Fried, perfect example, yeah. Right? FTX, right?
Yep. And even like we can see examples of other aspects of things. And that's where people get fear, where they're just like, oh, well, what's happening? Da, da, da. And it's like, well, this is where personally for I, when I'm looking at crypto projects and understanding if an investment is for me and if I want to be a long-term investor, I always go back to the founder because frequently the founder, if I can trust the founder and I can understand their intentions, their energy behind it, then odds are like if they feel like they're a good actor and they're not going to scam me, they're not going to pull the money from me, things are going to be pretty good that it's not going to be a scam and it's not going to check that box. So when people are doing the research around different cryptos, just realize all cryptos are not created the same. All code is not created the same. All founders are not created the same. The energy that is infused into each network matters a lot. So I always go back to the founder.
Wow. Okay, let's do this.
Let's break down. Because at this point, I think the legitimacy of the reason for crypto is there. And I want to establish that as a basis for our listeners that I definitely believe in crypto because of the decentralized nature of the control of money. I think that's its central purpose. And if you can iron out all of the issues like Bitcoin, I can never see it being adopted because it's an energy nightmare. Okay. It has a fundamental just
the actual physical, issue. The physical energy consumed.
It is insurmountable. That's my only tension with Bitcoin. It's going to make a lot of money. And at some point it's going to reach a threshold. It's going to crash. But crypto, and like why there are 20,000 of them, is because each serves a potential purpose in the chain. Can you help our listeners understand that there are a lot of good actors who are trying to create utilities for them?
Yeah.
Can you unpack that a little bit?
Yeah. Okay. The best way, I actually want to drop back in. So the best way that I like to see this is, problem solution. The existing financial system is broken in many ways. And
agreed.
We can see this in numerous ways. We've talked a lot about the money, the banking, people controlling our stuff in these ways. And also, honestly, I think there's a lot of market manipulation in things where the 1% is trying to benefit themselves. It's like
very much so.
It's very much trying to see like the mainstream narrative to be like, where are things shifting to? And so, a big part that I like to see is, okay, so the old system is fading. What we're doing with crypto is we're building the future of finance. And to build the future of finance, it's not going to be one thing. It's not going to just be like the US dollar being like being the global reserve. We have to create a whole different economy for this to exist in flow and to also have a good user experience that more people can adopt it and not even realize that they're using crypto. So that's ultimately the end goal. But what is happening right now, the reason that there's so many different elements to it, it's very much like the dot-com boom. Like very similar energies and similar timelines is like the internet came online back in the 2000s, or like it not came online, but you get it. It boomed in many ways. And the same thing's happening with crypto right now, where it's like, we have to create all these different tools for you as the user, you as the investor. Like there's just so many different use cases that to the person who is just getting in crypto wouldn't particularly get. But okay, let me use some examples. So like in crypto, there's within each industry, you can find different subsets of different projects. Like projects are also the example of coins, networks, or blockchains. It's just each investment serves a different purpose. Mm-hmm. Different industries include the gaming industry. There's a whole GameFi industry. DeFi is decentralized finance. That's a whole industry in itself. Bit very big. Real estate has its own thing. The product distribution, but it's like sending like shipments around the world. I forget what
supply chain.
Yeah. Chain. Basically everything, healthcare, education, basically anything that has information or values exchanged, like money exchanged, can have some use case of working with crypto, because ultimately what they're doing is they're using blockchain technology. And so fundamentally, like, this is where, okay, crypto is the sparkly thing. You don't necessarily have to know how crypto works, but the reason that it's helpful to understand how it works is so that you can understand like how you can trust it. So you can understand like that your transactions go through to each other, but then you can also start to see a few more of like the use cases, like how else can this form and sculpt the future that I'm stepping into with this world? And so for you guys, so like, what is the blockchain that you guys know of?
So my son instructed me it's essentially the ledger. It's a shared ledger that everybody has access to. And you have individuals who mine that data and approve it. They agree to it. So in other words, there's always a head check on it. And that's essentially the idea. It's a decentralized structure that everybody can tap into that is a ledger.
Yes.
Did I get that right?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, cool. Used more, I don't love using the word ledger for beginners, but in like the way I like to compare
a balance sheet, what would you
or call lock it? Lock it a key. I mean, there's a transactional nature of it. There's actually, and a secure kind of a something that has to go through it. There's a process by which it's verified or it's legitimized, right?
Yep, exactly. So the blockchain is the space where your information becomes secure so that like why is it so important to have your information secure and verified in so many ways is because let's say you like Jonathan sends Rich five coins and you log back into your account and you're like, oh, the coins are there. Yet you go in a week later and you're like, where'd my five coins go? Mm-hmm. If someone went in and changed the number for you, are you going to have trust that the system works for you? So the trust, ultimately, I love to see all the different ways that trust is built. And having code, having the blockchain there verifies and secures that the information is safe. It's secure. It cannot be tampered with. It cannot be changed. It's sent out across the network so that everyone in the network can look up the transactions, look up the information. And that way, we as humans can trust that the system works for us, that when we send it across the code, it's safe and secure. So it's like it's a win-win in so many different ways.
And it's also very important. And I don't, have you guys ever watched the show Billions?
No.
Okay, Jonathan, there's a scene in Billions where the guy's who's taken over for Axelrod, he's bald. He's like $10 billion of crypto in these boxes that you have to have the code. And if you don't get it after the ninth time, nobody gets that. And some guy, I heard about some guy who lost his password. Everything was sitting waiting and he couldn't access it. And it was just lost. So there is the downside of it. But as long as you've got that, you're good to go. Is that a reality, Whitney, in terms of, hey, man, if you lose that, then you could be screwed though.
Oh my God. Absolutely. And this is for my own self. This is why I personally practice and preach so much around security. So mm-hmm. I understand why people want to keep their money on the exchange. First off, some people don't understand that like the exchange owns your money, but also taking crypto into your own hands means that you have to build security mechanisms to work for you.
Right.
So that, yeah. And also like you, I tell everyone in my world, I'm like, when you're getting your, so what you're referring to with the seed phrase, with the words, is a phrase that's usually 12 to 24 words. You can have more depending on how you create it. But those 12 to 24 words, if you plug it into a hardware wallet, a wallet online, you can recover and restore your crypto and then send it to people as need.
Very good.
Whoever knows those 12 words, like let's say you take a picture on your phone and it gets uploaded to the cloud and then your information on the cloud gets leaked in 5 years. Well, because those words were on the cloud, now hackers and scammers may own your money and not you.
Yeah.
So the 12, having those words and having them in systems that personally I tell people don't take pictures, don't put it into LastPass or password keepers, don't put it into notepads, don't type it into your computer. Mm-hmm. I store it in metal. And I have a few other systems of like encryption that I help people with, but like security matters so much. And once you build those systems at the beginning, you can sleep and be like, oh, my money's working for me. It's fine. Yeah. It's safe.
That's where the maturity of the economy is not there yet for crypto that can take care of those end user problems. Because there are a lot of those. And I think when people don't like change, so the idea of switching from hard cash or fiat money to crypto, that's like, shit, don't make me do it. Most people mm-hmm. are going to be late adopters. Like I'm an early adopter, but I mean, living your entire life, there still needs to be a lot of end user products that help people manage, because the management of the crypto is going to be a new economy. It is.
Yeah, it will be.
It's probably going to be similar to like a Cash App, where it's very simple. Someone manages it and protects it. And that centralized protection is really where people are going to be at. So,
yeah.
So earlier, Whitney, you were talking about how these different cryptocurrencies, I don't know if you call them coins, are used in different industries, right? You mentioned healthcare or supply chain. And that got me thinking about something you said earlier, is about one of the things as an engineer, you know, observing things like this, you start to see patterns, right? And this is where I think things could get really exciting, because if you have your mind on the pulse of things that are in demand or that are requiring, you know, definitely visibility or any kind of demand and, you know, energy, I think you can start to see how you can get in those early stages. Can you help the audience understand where you start to see these patterns and how your experience can help navigate some of these things to help people more comfortable, feel more comfortable about it? Yeah.
Excellent question. This is one of my favorite topics. So personally, when I was, when in my first cycle, when in 2021, I watched the 25K go over to 500,000, I was like, whoa, like my mentor, he was doing all this research before I met him to be able to spot at that point, it was like of 10,000 cryptos, how do you spot the ones that are going to be home runs, that are going to have, like for my own self, I personally am someone who, well, conservatively, when I say this to people, like I'm an 11x investor. Like I find at least cryptos that have 11x potential, like realistically 11x. But quite honestly, it's usually more like 30, 40, 50x returns. And I got it down to, I studied in the cycle where I was just like, okay, he helped me out in that way. Now, how do I reverse engineer what he taught me and really try to create a formula to be able to spot high growth cryptos? So that's what I teach today to people, is like, how do you start to train your mind? And a lot of this goes back to like, we're in the information era right now. There's so much information, especially in the crypto world. So many people are throwing things at us. But I find to be able to spot patterns and to be able to find those high growth cryptos, you have to start to come in with like, oh, first off, a wanting and a goal of like, okay, I actually want to find those ones that are like innovative, that are solving problems. I want to ask a series of questions to understand like, hey, how is the founder? Is there something of value here? Is the timing now? What are some of the other competitors out there like? And so I teach like a whole bundle of different questions to ask, because there's a lot of different information out there, but it's around creating, like it's yes, finding them. But more than anything, it's once you find them, it's asking yourself the right questions to be able to create like a list. I like to say a thesis or a conviction around like, this is why I'm in it. This is the probability that these things could happen. And these are also the risks. This is the potential that it might not be adopted at this time. Mm-hmm. And so for an investor, I think one of the first things is like, you have to come into the space, the crypto space, which is already filled with so much dopamine, so many people wanting to get rich, so much like frenzy energy. And there's a lot of traders in there who are just like trying to make a cheap thing. Mm-hmm. My experience is if you actually want to invest in something that has growth in this cycle, you have to be able to come in with the mindset that you want to do things differently than the masses. You want to come in with a grounding approach, that you want to study patterns. You want to study the market cycle timing pattern. Like a big one is like, if you don't see the timing of the market being like how it occurs every 4 years, how there's lows and there's highs and you have to sell at the highs and you have to buy at the lows. Like if you don't hit those, you're going to miss the whole crypto game, and you're going to find your money going way, 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 way up. and then maybe way, 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 way down. And then you're gonna be like, I missed it. So when I'm looking at cryptos, like I have a 4-part formula. And I like to say you have to get the what you buy correct. So like the coins, when you buy, so the entry, when you sell, the exit. So use the time to work for you. And then lastly, it's the systems and security. So you can onboard, offboard, navigate things, and then store your money so you can stay in the game. Super, super, super high level. But if you keep it high level, you can save yourself a lot of the like frenzy energy in the crypto world and be like, this is my plan. These are the parts I have to nail.
I was going to say, these are the fundamentals. These are the things. High level are fundamentals. They're things you do repeatedly over and over and over and over and over and over and over till they're automatic. Yeah. And
I was going to ask, because I saw Doge a while back go from 5, 6, 7 cents to almost 69, 72 cents. And then it just came back to earth. And I don't remember a lot of the other stocks back then, but was that a cycle? So, and did Ethereum and Bitcoin and any other crypto follow that? Or is that something that Elon might have done to bump it with Tesla? Do you remember that particular spike in Dogecoin?
Yeah, this is a fun study, case study.
Okay, cool.
So first off, Rich, my question for you is, why did you buy Dogecoin?
Because it was cheap, because it seemed like something fun. And I bought it. I could have bought it when it was 5 cents. I bought it at 39. I watched it go to 70 something or 69 or 72. And I just held on to it. And it was just pretty ugly. So anyway, that's why I bought it. It seemed like it's cheap, right? It seemed like really reasonable. Why not? Like, let's see what happens.
Did you buy in before or after Elon started talking about it?
Probably after, unfortunately. If it hit 39, it was probably way after. Yeah.
Yeah, because it hit a high. I'm looking at the chart right now. It hit a high of 57 cents in May 21. So Dogecoin definitely hit the same market cycle. Okay, so we're gonna break down a little of what went on with Dogecoin. Let me find you guys. Where on my screen? Okay, so first off, Dogecoin is what you like to call a meme coin. Meme coins are something that like literally like a meme on the internet is like
a frog.
Yeah, it's a cute gif. It's a cute image of something being like, oh, da da da. And so that was even the meme, the social phenomenon was buy cute doggy coin. Doggy coin go to the moon. Like, and the crazy thing is the way humans work is sometimes that does work. However, and sometimes things go to the moon. And in particular, it like Dogecoin was around for so many years before it even came on the radar with Elon. But the benefit of meme coins is that people are putting things out there and they're hoping that society, humans pick it up in some way, shape, or form. Dogecoin was one of the meme coins that got lucky. I particularly don't love investing in meme coins. I have a very small amount of my portfolio to do so. And I like to call those lottery tickets. They're it's good for it. Because you never know how things are going to go. It's speculation at its finest. And there's a whole different science to that one because you're truly spotting how humans move and how humans adopt things. But Dogecoin got lucky that Elon blessed it. And Elon, of course, has his influence, and people know that anything Elon touches, like the different things that he's doing, he he's part of the future. He's like weaving these things in. So this is where, of course, the time to invest would have been before Elon spoke about it. However, the time to invest, like if it was back then, you would have been thought as absolutely crazy to put any money into this little dog coin. Because there was no value. There was no one else really talking about a value besides people on the internet speculating about it.
And I think that did somewhat influence the whole scam concept is like, because meme coins, like I've wrestled with that one. Like I'm a believer in crypto, but I'm not a believer in memes. I've never seen, like I get the party aspect and the project aspect that it's, but it doesn't serve a utility. And I think because what ultimately the bigger question people are asking here is at what point is it going to switch from a dollar to what crypto? Because there's 20,000. Mm. There probably another 20,000 next year. At what point are we going to have another dollar that just transacts energy? Say, here's my energy, because that's really what money is. It's my promised value to perform over time. Yep. And the, like, how do I take care of that, protect it, and give it away when I want to? So, and do it at the lowest cost possible. And I think that's why the decentralized nature is, if we can keep the cost, because basically fiat systems have so many middlemen in the process with taxes and sales tax and tax again. And then it's, how do we get rid of the middleman? Mm-hmm. And that's the loss of power that is happening in the shift. I know that's a real high level thing, but it's, that's where the world is like, what is going to be the money of the future? I want to go back because we're sort of nearing the end of our time, but I want to, and Rich, I'll let you leave with one more question, is answer your question so far. What is your relationship of money and how is it different now? Ooh. That was the question that you went into this whole journey with. How has it changed?
My relationship to money is not just about money. Hmm. It is about my energy of where I want to be in the world. My energy of, because how I spend my energy is my greatest currency. It's also a space right now, like for my own self, my own business, I am very, very, very much in demand. and I've had no shortage of work. So it's, when people want my time, that's also worth something for my own self to be like, well, my money, my energy literally in this moment does cost energy at a certain point. And so for me, it's been, my relationship to money has had me be a lot more discerning around the spaces that I say yes to, in a way where I'm like, I say yes to things that are alignment for me. And I know that now my yes is stronger because also my no is stronger. I know that the places I go, I'm meant to be at, and therefore I'm unapologetically fully presently there. Mm-hmm. So for me, I've gotten this richness of life by shifting my own relationship to money. And it's a constant evolution, or like the relationships never have an end point. But I now have a greater curiosity for myself around where I want to put myself, when I'm shifting, like, an abundant mindset versus a scarce mindset. I'm just like much more attuned with my energy and what I want to create in the world and how I'm really creating my world. So it's been a really beautiful reflection of my own relationship to my power.
Well, mm-hmm. I think that's the biggest part. We talk about the matrix here all the
intentionality.
Time.
Mm-hmm.
And the matrix is really that scarcity mindset. And that to me is the biggest shift happening, is the world is waking up to an abundance mindset. And that's what I love about your story. If you watch Whitney on Instagram or any of your platforms, I love your energy and passion of being free to be who you are. That's to me the most valuable part of what you're sharing, is you've changed your relationship to money and it's given you a sense of freedom that has allowed you to enjoy your life. That's what it seems like.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I could tell some of the urgency in one of your recent reels, Whitney. Is like, guys, just listen to me. This is important, you know. And I could just tell you've absorbed it, you've channeled it, and now you're trying to give back in a way. I think that we're trying to democratize this, and this goes back to my conversation about this poor middle class and these poor, you know, boomers. Everybody's talking about, you know, my dad made $72,000 a year, bought a house. We had five kids. Everybody thrived. We had a boathouse. We had a second house. And there's no way in heck I could even afford my rent today, right? Let alone even dream about having a house. And one of the things that I would like to ask you is, how do you have a conversation with a recent college graduate or even somebody who is, you know, waiting tables and they're able to sock away 50, 100 bucks a week?
Yeah.
And they're just, this is, they're knowing that just, they know they need to do it. They're not, they don't spend on a lottery ticket. How can you help? Or how can you envision a world where somebody with just 100, 200 bucks a month can actually possibly make a difference in their lives and have a hope of something down the road? And this is what we're talking about. We're talking about how are we allowing the proletariat, the poor, you know, kid or young person out there who doesn't really have a chance to try to have some leverage in the world in the future, because it's kind of depressing, quite frankly, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it is. Great question. So my first thing, so going back to the very beginning, we talked about action.
Yeah.
The courage that comes with action. And so this is a time right now, like I haven't, the urgency I was talking about was really like, in short, in crypto, there's every 4 years, there's a cycle. There's a bull market cycle. Bull market means price goes up, and it goes up very, very fast. So that thing that I was able to ride where it went from 25K to half a million, and some, like I've said this before, like I got lucky because the timing was really good and really right. And at the same time, like I genuinely did get really lucky when I did meet my mentor and the callings and everything. Like there are certain times to go, and this year and a half is going to be huge. So it's a matter of, if you are here right now listening to this, just start off and go buy some crypto. And like, this is not financial advice, because I'm not a financial advisor. You cannot be a financial advisor in crypto. But if I were to tell someone to begin.
But here's an easier way to say it. If you had $10,000, what would you buy right now? Don't give advice, but tell us what.
10,000, 100, 500, yeah.
Yeah,
Even if I had
20, if I had 50, the one thing I would go tell you to buy right now is Ethereum.
Yeah.
In particular, here's my reason why. I love finding high growth cryptos. Mm-hmm. Between Bitcoin and Ethereum, they both collectively have market adoption. Like it's
true.
People trust it.
It's undergirding.
Both of these, neither of them are going anywhere. I have a stronger belief around Ethereum. And also Ethereum's younger. So it's been around, it came out in 2015 versus Bitcoin, which is 2009. And just because it's younger, it has less market adoption. It's not number one, it's number two. And what that means when it doesn't have as much market adoption is that it has more ability to grow. It's like the underdog, or it's not even the underdog, it's number two has more ability to grow to number one because it hasn't been seen by as many people or doesn't have as much trust. So there's gonna be a lot more meters to come up, but if someone is just sitting on the sideline and wants some exposure and doesn't wanna like necessarily get into like gambling around or playing with like Dogecoin and the different things that come up with like with speculative like meme coins and that type of stuff, and you don't really wanna go deep, deep, deep into things, I invite you to go do some research around, study the market cycle timings, understand how time works in the crypto world, and then go deep into like the Ethereum side of things. I'm not an Ethereum nut, but I will say for beginners, it's very easy to start to grasp some of this stuff and also to see growth in a really big, bold way.
Awesome. Whitney, so how can people find you? Because I want people to be able to find you, and I will put it in the show notes, but please let us know what's the best way to contact you?
Instagram is awesome. I'm so excited actually about my YouTube channel. So Whitney Magic is my public name. My YouTube channel, I've been working with a guy and we're dropping a lot more videos coming this week. Some really revolutionary ways to be able to talk about crypto and how to do crypto in a way that actually feels good in your body. The investing way, spotting patterns. A lot of this conversation will be going into deeper topics in that aspect and bring a lot of humanness to crypto. So
do you have any workshops coming up or any trainings?
I do. So on April, actually on, I don't know when this will be published, but Monday the 18th, my early bird special ends. And then for my 5-week program, this is a great place for people to begin with crypto 101. It's under $500. And it's in a group space as well so that you get to grow together. And that course begins on April 2nd. So, that's in my link tree on my Instagram page on anything that is Whitney Magic related.
Awesome. Whitney, thank you so much. This has been, as expected, it's always awesome hanging out with you because I always learn so much from you. It's beautiful. Thank you for joining us. And to all of our listeners, this has been another incredible episode of Living in the Matrix. Please comment and review, subscribe if you can. We're also on Instagram and YouTube. This has been a blast doing it. And Whitney, thank you so much for joining us again.
Thank you so much for having me. Range of questions. Loved it.
Love it. Absolutely. Yeah. Always awesome. Thank you so much.
All right. Much love, everybody. Have an awesome time, whatever you're doing. Take care.